COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
We're going to talk about nightmares with J.M. DeBoard. Jason, Jason's website, jmdebord.com.
If there is dysfunction in the relationship, then thank your nightmares and dreams in general for helping you to mediate between the two, because they need to act together for you to be the fully effective and complete, whole, happy human being that you can be.
The book is Nightmares, Your Guide to Interpreting Your Darkest Dreams, and a reviewer on Amazon says, I've had a recurring nightmare dream since high school of an apocalyptic lifestyle, living day to day with guns and fighting. Wasn't until I read this book that I was able to make sense of why I had been dreaming the dream for so many years and what it means. This has been a long time coming. Thank you so much for writing this and sharing your knowledge with us. I highly recommend this book. There are a lot of topics covered in this book that are a little darker than the normal other dream books I've seen. And that's why this dream book is also worth it. More like an encyclopedia, definitely a reference book, and not one to read before you go to bed at night. Thank you for writing the book. This is a cool book.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. You know, that came to me when my publisher came to me and asked me, we have a concept for a book. We want to write about interpreting nightmares and dark dreams, and we'd like for you to do it. And they gave me kind of a wide open, do the book the way that you want to do it. And my first thought was, I am not going to go there in my own personal life. And of course, you know, it worked on me over time because I had an experience with my nightmares that I wanted to validate for other people who've had similar experiences. And if I wouldn't go there, then I felt like I was cheating the reader. I was not just the reader, but the people who need my help, who need my perspective. So yeah, there can be some pretty dark material in there, but nightmares themselves are dark. But as I teach, there's a point to them. And when you understand what that point is, then you realize that it's kind of like tough love or shock therapy. It's necessary, but it hurts.
When there's like a collective theme, and let's start with Jung, he had people coming to him with this certain element in the dream, and it was all like a commonality and a nightmare per se, but it actually had a greater purpose and relevance. So that just to, you know, to widen this, to broaden the scope on this, can you address that one?
You know, Carl Jung is my the godfather of dream psychology, and I call him my hero because he, in a way, rescued me from a place that I was in my life when I discovered his teachings that pulled me out of that place and gave me a new way of approaching spiritual life without it necessarily being religious. So props to Carl for offering that to me and to everyone else out there. He said that nightmares serve a purpose, and usually it's because the unconscious mind where dreams are created and the conscious mind are in some kind of conflict or they're far apart and they need to come together. So dreams act as a dialogue between these two parts of yourself that they need it. And the dream is in a sense, like a mediator. It's mediating the relationship between these two sides of you. If there is dysfunction in the relationship, then thank your nightmares and dreams in general for helping you to mediate between the two, because they need to act together for you to be the fully effective and complete, whole, happy human being that you can be, but you're not being it. And so the dreams, the nightmares, will keep coming back until you address whatever it is that's underlying them. And Jung provided us with some of the key insights about the relationship between the conscious mind and the unconscious and the reasons why it can turn kind of dark sometimes, Wendy. It can, you know, but it is, again, it goes back to the idea of tough love and shock therapy. It's something that's necessary, painful at the time, but necessary.
During the time he was influenced and realized there was a connection to the collective with the individual dreams, there was the god of war that kept reappearing in the dreams of individuals, and they had nothing else in common, and he's trying to figure that out.
Thank you for the prompt. Now I see where you're headed. Yes, I do talk about that in the book. Carl, when Jung was, he was graduated from medical school. He'd been in private practice and also had worked in a kind of mental institution type of places before going into private practice. And he was at a stage in his life when he was just kind of really getting his footing as a professional. And then World War I broke out. But leading up to it, he was having dreams. So the ones that you referred to, I'm going back to before then. First, he had dreams about a wave of blood sweeping across Europe. And he found out later, once events transpired, that it was a preview or premonition of what was coming in Europe during World War I. And then between World War I and World War II, he had these patients coming into his office in Switzerland who were German origin. You know, in Switzerland, they speak German and three other languages. It's very heavily influenced. Germanic culture is very heavily influenced in Switzerland. And they were dreaming about Wotan, the god of war. Now, this is a really bloodthirsty god in the pantheon. Wotan is a really dark character. And he was finding that character in their dreams. And he's looking at him and he's going, these are otherwise well-adjusted people. They may have their issues in life, and that's why they've come to see me, the psychiatrist. But we're not talking about sociopaths or psychopaths or bloodthirsty murderers. But that's what was manifesting in her dreams, in their dreams. And what he discovered is that there is a collective element to dreaming that can influence the individual, and that what these people were dreaming about was a preview of what was to come when Nazi Germany went out and tried to conquer the world. You know, the bloodshed that it unleashed on the world, and the spirit that was behind it. It was Wotan, the god of war. It was that bloodthirst that was in the German people that inhabited them collectively and gave them a sort of collective psychosis. So yeah, a very interesting way that the collective can influence individuals' dreams. And I do give other examples of that in the book where their nightmares were not just their own. There are times that we have to look beyond ourselves to find the source of them.
You also make a point to say, even though something is negative and nasty and really, really spooky, it isn't always an external thing. It could also be another part of you looking at yourself from that perspective. And the black-eyed kids, black-eyed people, black-eyed, the dreams that address black eyes, I think illustrates that.
Yeah, people who are into some of these paranormal subjects will really dig my book because, you know, I have some experience with it personally. I have a fascination with it, which is one reason why I listen to your show all the time. And, you know, also at Reddit, I'm seeing what people are dreaming about. And these subjects are entering into the stream. They are having dreams about things like black-eyed people. And I see it frequently enough that I knew that it had to make it into my book because there are a lot of people out there who have these dreams. And they can turn into nightmares. You won't necessarily find it in other books written about nightmares. They're either written for a therapeutic audience, or they're written more from a pop psychology sort of perspective, or from sort of the classic nightmare symbols. And I was like, you know, these days people are dreaming about things like Slender Man. You know, like if you weren't hooked into, you know, modern media for the last 20 years, you may not know that there is this character called Slender Man or the girl from The Ring. How many times has this been people come to Reddit and said, wow, I had this amazing nightmare about the girl from The Ring or a character that's like her, that looks like her and acts like her, like the girl from the movie, from The Ring franchise. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring this into the discussion because people are dreaming about these things. Those dreams can be nightmares, sometimes maybe not as bad as they initially appear to be, which is one of the points that I make throughout my teachings about dreams. But I think it's especially important with nightmares to look behind the scenes and see what's really happening because it's not necessarily as bad as it appears. And you won't get anywhere with understanding and absorbing the dream unless you can kind of take that step back from it and go, okay, this is like a scary movie and I was fully involved in it when I was experiencing it, but now I can get some distance and step back and go, oh, the axe murderer is just an actor with a mask on and a sharp blade. It's not necessarily the thing that's going to hack me to death in the middle of the night. You see the difference?
Yes. Let's go through the different topics that you're covering: violence and crime, disasters and afflictions. In some areas, you know, you've got the zombies, you've got spiders and snakes. You have a whole slew of different elements.
Yeah, I try to show that the spider in the dream is a representation. It's a symbol. And behind it is an idea or something that you are experiencing. The most common one is anxiety. I just was at Reddit yesterday and this guy's talking about, well, there's one spider that came out in my nightmare and it kind of made me weary. And then there were a whole bunch of other spiders that followed on its trail. And that's when things got really scary. And I was like, do your problems start with one anxiety that then, if you don't deal with it, it turns into many? Because that's what I saw as the potential for symbolism. And in that case, he latched on to the idea right away. It was like, yeah, I do have this, you know, a chronic anxiety about things, and it does get worse the longer that it goes on. If I don't do something about it when it first appears, then it's going to turn into a flood, you know? So one spider turns into many in his dream. There's an idea that's behind the spider. It's not a spider. You know, although there is one example that I give in the book where there was a woman who, she shared this story. She said that she was, when she was in college, she had a bunch of roommates. They're all sleeping in the same house. She had this dream that there was this big, nasty, black, hairy spider descending from the ceiling and was about to land on her. And she woke up screaming and looks up and she's like, oh, there's no spider. Her scream woke up her roommate, and her roommate looked up, and there was a big, black, nasty spider about to land on her, you know? So maybe there are times when it's a little more literal, it was just really wild how the one girl has a dream about something that's going to affect someone else. Call that coincidence if you want to, but I don't think it was. But usually it's an idea that's behind it. You need to decode the symbolism. And that's where I really excel, I think, from knowing the way that I teach and seeing how people respond to how I teach this subject. I know that if I can teach people how to decode the symbolism, then they can see through to what's going on behind the scenes. It's not a spider. It's an idea wrapped in spider imagery. Get to what that idea is, and now we can make progress. But if you get stuck at that point where you're just fearing the spider, you're not going to get past that point.
Okay, your website, jmdebord.com. And when you're on Reddit, you're the AKA Rad Owl.
Yes, Rad, RADOWL. I chose that username when I first signed up for Reddit in 2009. Back then, I was just a member of the Dreams community. It was 5,000 strong. I took over as the lead moderator in 2013. And so that's 9 years now, going on 10. But I've been leading that community, and now it's 200,000 strong, and it is by far the most popular place to share dreams on the internet. I haven't seen anything even close within a tenth of the kind of traffic that we get. The point is to say that I am really plugged into what people are dreaming about and what they need to know to understand their dreams, because I've been part of this community for so long.
You also get good feedback, and this is just from referencing the blog, so I have a specific one to talk to. The crows, there's one that you wrote about what crows mean in dreams, and then one of the comments, she actually adds like a little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what the symbolism means for how many crows are there. It's kind of a little rhyme, and I thought, you know, and you thanked her, but it was just, it's that brilliant interaction with, here's somebody saying, and this is how it related to me. So learning from other people who have these dreams, I think, is really helpful too.
And the book is packed with that. At every turn where I could use an example from my interactions at Reddit mostly, but other places, social media, with friends, family, you know, I do one-on-one dream work also, but most of my stories have been taken from Reddit, and I get the feedback from the people who I work with their dreams, we come to some kind of conclusion about what they mean. And if I can feel confident from their feedback that we've gotten to what the dream means to them, then I feel confident sharing it with other people in my writing and my other ways that I teach. So it is, the book is full of those examples.
A quick break. jmdebord.com is the website. The book, Nightmares, Your Guide to Interpreting Your Darkest Dreams.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Nightmares are unique to the dreamer. There isn't a one-size-fits-all label.
Sometimes people can have paranormal experiences in their dreams. And the experiences, the sort of ESP, PSI, experiences of spirit and mind that are outside the conventional, it's one reason why people can have nightmares in the first place. So I wanted to validate for them that people do have these experiences and that they're not crazy.
Nightmares, Your Guide to Interpreting Your Darkest Dreams. Jason DeBoard.
It's written kind of like a dream dictionary, but as a three very large sort of umbrella topics, which you mentioned earlier. And each one gives more, they get more specific. So if it's, you know, it could be monsters and creatures, but I'm also going to talk about zombies, vampires, werewolves, witches, and so on individually. I will give an overview of what monsters and creatures are about in nightmares, but then I want to get specific so that if you wake up and you're like, man, I had that dream about the witch again. All right, what does that mean? Well, maybe this DeBoard guy can, this rat owl guy, can give me some insight. And you can not only see what the various ways of interpreting the symbolism might mean, but you can also get what are in almost every entry are multiple examples of how that symbol is used in the context of someone's dream, and then the process we went through to find out what it means.
The Grim Reaper, you say, embodies the idea of losses and endings, and especially ones that are dramatic and deep felt. So here it is, separation, common meaning of the symbolism of the Grim Reaper, and that can also be death, which is a separation from physical life and separates people from others that they love. So that's an overview and a very teeny tiny part of that chapter. I would call it more like an encyclopedia.
And in fact, I wanted to call it something along those lines, but the publisher already had a dream encyclopedia, so they didn't go along with it. It's an encyclopedia of nightmares and dark dreams. It offers the knowledge the same way that an encyclopedia would, but then it goes into my personal insights on how to get into the dream content itself and interpret it. So it's a combination of both. But I think it's fair to say that it is much like an encyclopedia. And the entries, I wrote them like essays. Some of them are thousands of words long. So you can, some of them are fairly short, maybe 5 or 6 paragraphs, 7 paragraphs. And some of them you'll see, like when I write about the devil, you know, like there's, it goes on for pages because there's a lot to know about the subject for one. And for two, when I write about these subjects, I have to be able to cover a very broad range of dream experience, nightmare experience. I have to be able to give the reader enough information, but also a variety of different scenarios where I can be likely to at least get close to what they have experienced in their dream and be able to offer them the information that will be sort of a trailhead for them to be able to go into it. I think that I did that pretty well in the book. And I mean, it's 300 pages long and kind of small on the font side. There's a lot of information. If for those who like word counts, it's 120,000 words, which was cut down from my original 135,000 I started when I finished the manuscript. So the publisher really made me, you know, tighten it down, but also left enough content in there that I think that it's one of the most thorough explorations of the subject that you can find on the market.
Like I said, you've outdone yourself with this. And okay, so as I'm grazing, seeing what's in here, and not wanting to get too close to it because I don't want to have bad dreams. And these dreams are like, whoa, over the top. I can't remember any nightmare that even comes close to what you've described. We're going to get into yours in just a minute. But when I was grazing, then I see my name, Paige. I'm like, well, aren't you cute? Aren't you cute? Because you made a little comment on Facebook. Oh, yeah, nice to know you read the books. Wondering if I was actually going to read the book.
Yeah, I had to mention you because, Wendy, I wanted to, sometimes people can have paranormal experiences in their dreams. And the experiences, the sort of ESP, PSI, these experiences of spirit and mind that are outside the conventional, this is one reason why I felt like they were going to come and find my book. It's one reason why people can have nightmares in the first place. So I wanted to validate for them that people do have these experiences and that they're not crazy. I wanted to be able to basically drop some names. You've had these experiences. You've questioned yourself about them. You've tested your own reality. And I wanted the readers to be able to find someone to relate to and then also to have a name. But if they wanted to search Google, they could go and find that you have hundreds of episodes of your podcast in your archive, and it explores all these different subjects that are fascinating, and that people need validation when they have had these experiences. So the book talks about mostly the conventional side of dream theory and interpretation, but it also delves into some of this other unconventional side of it. And for that, I thought that you were a great name to drop, Wendy.
Thank you. I was flattered. I'm like, oh my gosh. And the thing is, you also, that dream had to deal with Alex Tanis. And so anybody who Googles can find him. And he was a master in terms of getting studied and researched and validation for his paranormal abilities. An amazing man. And so the trigger for that dream was me finding his stuff. And then all I'm doing is reading and researching and then having a dream where he shows up. And it was a very powerful, powerful dream. And so, you know, it was uplifting. It was basically validating. And I have had other dreams much like that with other individuals, because some of the work that I do, mediumship, that kind of stuff, and I do not advertise. I don't need, this is like word of mouth occasionally, and it's not something I do professionally, but I get help from the other side. And so that's how I see it and how it works for me. And so, yeah, we are not crazy. We just have unique experiences.
And they are unique. It's not something that most people will report from their dream life. But then again, most people are not talking with, this incarnate entity, dead people. Yeah. Spiritual, you know. But I, on my podcast, The Dreams That Shape Us, I was just listening to the interview from last night for the episode we have coming up. And there's a lady who we interview. She was taught these sacred dances in her dreams. There, it's like the temples in India, they have temple dancers. The lady isn't even from India, but it turns out she has ancestry from there. And she went to someone to get some lessons specifically in this form of dance that she was first shown in her dreams. She went to the first lesson and the lady said, "You have had training in this and you're trying to pull the wool over my eyes." She actually was accusatory. And she said, "No, I'll show you my dream journals where I've been given these dreams directly from the source, from ancestors." She even said that she was connecting to parts of herself that were related to her past lives. So and this was what was teaching her how to do the dance. So these figures can come to us in our dreams, and we will have very unusual experiences with them. Like when Alex got out of a limo and handed you two gifts, you know, and I just got the book. And then if you want to know more about it, you can get into the book. But this is something that people do experience. And I need to give them enough information so that they can at least begin to be able to differentiate when they are having a conventional dream that features, you know, maybe an unconventional theme, but that's not unusual for dreams, then differentiate it from the unconventional experiences where you really are being visited in your dream, where you really are connecting into a collective or higher intelligence, where you really are seeing previews of the future. Because I know these things happen. You know they happen. But most of the readers and listeners out there are, at least we could say, they're unsure about it.
This was just this week, recent dream. In my dream, I'm looking at a big screen. My program that I'm doing the editing on is editing on isn't responding the way I want it to. I'm having trouble. So my uncle comes in. My uncle's first name is John, and he helps me. And then he says, because I'm thinking, this isn't working, I'm just going to leave. And he says, you're needed here. And then I ask in the dream, I'm asking my guides, am I supposed to work with John? And they said, no, you're working with a medium. He has that name. It's the first name. And I knew at that point I was going to get a name. As I wake up, because the dog is barking his head off, I am standing on a gravestone. My feet are placed so I can't see the first name. The end of the name is S-T-O-N. I'm thinking, well, does that mean stone, cement? It meant the first name, John, the last name, and the man is deceased and has been, and he was a medium, a shaman. And that's how it gave me that information to track this person down, because there's learning. And that's as much as I need to say. But that just happened. And that, for me, is how I work my dream plane. And so, you know, for people that you're dealing with who are having other types of metaphysical experiences, some of these other elements, they connect the dots. The themes that you're covering, whether it's violence, whether it's weather like tornadoes, those things are all bits and pieces of the puzzle. I think that they work very well. This happened to be because I was able to connect the dots. Also, you know, a visual cue and clue, not specific, because I had to do the work to fill in the blanks. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And when I was writing the book, I was aware of experiences like that, where you have to kind of follow the trail of clues. The intuition will tell you where you need to go, but you got to take the steps, or at least it will point you in the right direction. And I knew that I couldn't get too far into that subject in my book, because it wasn't about that.
Right.
But I also knew that one of the driving forces behind writing it was that I wanted to validate the experience for people who have had these unusual experiences. I wanted to give them information to be able to put the dots together. And Wendy, just one quick thing, you know from your dream life that the way that you follow your intuition and you get this guidance and that you follow these clues is because you've learned how to interpret dreams. And it's a very similar process of feeling your way through it, understanding the symbols, and checking in with what you're feeling inside of yourself so that you can be guided in the right direction.
The clue was I was standing on a gravestone. So that says, okay, he's deceased. Got it.
Dead. Yeah. That's a good clue. And then to have last name, you know, I had a medium that I worked with to help her to edit her book, and her son was on the other side. He had died suddenly, and this unlocked this whole series of experiences for her. And he was communicating with her from the other side. And he gave her the name of someone he was working with turned out to be a Nobel Prize winning geneticist. And they were doing this thing her thing was, as a light energy worker and healer, was to be able to work with the DNA to be able to affect healing at the DNA level by activating what they called light codes within it. Well, her son was the bridge between her and this guy who was on the other side with them. She said that before then, she had no knowledge that this guy even existed. Yet in her dream, when her son came to her, he gave her the name. And then she woke up and she looked it up and she's like, wow, this guy has a Wikipedia page. Wow, he won a Nobel Prize. Wow, he's a geneticist. And here she is working on it from the one side as an intuitive energy healer. And then she's getting help from the other side with a guy who was immersed in the science of this stuff while he was alive. And there was a connection made between the two of them so that information could flow more readily back and forth between them. So these things do happen. And I think that people need to understand that the same way that dreams can tie the individual into the collective, that there is a collective mind that is composed of all of us, living and deceased, and maybe even still to come as, you know, future people who will be born onto this earth, future incarnations of ourselves and past incarnations of ourselves. And it's all one big network. And if you can understand how to work your way through a dream, you can, and understand it, then I think that it's a very valuable tool and lesson for being able to navigate through these more psychic experiences.
In the next segment, we're going to talk about that dream, the one that was a nightmare that lasted 30 years. Yeah, it was scary. Even more scary when you discover what was behind it.
You had a very personal experience ongoing for 3 decades of a nightmare.
The guy's face even looked like the Dark Lord. His eyes were like oozing with power and his face was all craggy with burn scars. And I mean, just right out of myth and, you know, right out of the movies. Mm-hmm. So I had a confrontation with him, Wendy. I tried to kill him and I heard him laughing in my mind. And I knew at that moment that if I fought fire with fire, that I would become fire. If you fight darkness with darkness, you become dark.
Links are in the description for the show. Stick around or come back for part 2. Thanks for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.